This talk was given at the 2006 Winter Datun, a month-long retreat held at the White Eagle Conference Center in Crestone, Colorado. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. What does it mean to take refuge in the Buddha? In this episode, Reggie explores this question from the standpoint of the outer, inner, and secret dimensions of the Buddhist journey. He explains that fundamentally the Buddha is the very essence of our being, the very source of our life.
When we talk about taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, there's an outer aspect to each of these, and there's an inner aspect. The outer aspect of the Buddha is the teacher principle. In other words, that in this tradition, just as the Buddha worked with his disciples and his friends and taught them and interacted with them and meditated with them and explored with them the nature of Dharma and the journey, in the same way, every successive generation of living spirituality, there is the same configuration of the teacher or teachers and then the people who are the apprentices. Because really, that in Buddhism, that's what it is. You're an apprentice. You're an apprentice Buddha when you follow this tradition. And then the inner aspect of the Buddha. In other words, so we take refuge kind of in that idea that we need a mentor, we need someone who can, be a mirror for us and work with us and talk with us and care about us and kind of be there to, as a sort of sounding board and whatever, guide on the journey, at least, for some period of time. But we, more fundamentally, the reason that teacher has any importance whatsoever in our lives is because of the inner principle of the Buddha. And the inner principle of the Buddha is our most fundamental nature and reason for being at all. We do have a nature, and we do have a reason for being. And that is the inner Buddha. You could say the Buddha is, in the tradition it says it's the Buddha nature, the nature of being awake. Now, it sounds kind of abstract, and actually the tradition is much more specific. Our nature as human beings and our reason for being alive emerge out of one thing. When we go into the primordiality of the earth, when we go into the space in the belly, when we step into the central channel at the back of the palate, when we do any of these practices, working with the body, and then later we'll find ways to work with the outer body as well as the inner body or personal body, we come to a point where we actually completely lose track of who we are. And initially, I'm not saying that everybody here has experienced that. What I actually think is that you have experienced it, and you do experience it all the time in your lives, but the thing is you haven't learned how to recognize it, and you don't realize what it is. You think it's just something that passes in the background, and that what's happening in the foreground is actually your life and who you are. What happens through meditation is you actually begin to reorient your way of actually experiencing yourself. And you start to realize that there is something in the moment when actually you completely lose track of who you are and there's not even anybody watching. There's just this thing, this open space at the core of your being. Now, the thing about this open space is that's the source. In other words, the source, the primordial source of all that is, exists in us. And that is the ultimate nature of our being. We're not a solid thing. We're not even a person. We're not a body. We're not even living in this universe at that moment. What we are is pure and simple, the source. And that source is beyond anything, any kind of experience, and yet we experience it in a certain kind of way. There's a lot of language for it, but the thing is you have to realize you have to tap into it yourself. You have to actually begin to make a relationship with that source and learn how to recognize it. It's in you all the time. And that source is beyond everything. It's beyond time, it's beyond space, it's beyond life and death. That is the ultimate nature of each one of us. Now, the interesting thing, which we talked about throughout this Dhatan, is that source is not a sort of empty, vacant nothing, but it's constantly giving birth. And what it gives birth to is what arises out of the darkness. And with us, there are always things coming up, isn't it true? There are always things coming up. And we, you know, as beginning or middle-level practitioners, don't always recognize that what comes up in us is actually coming from the source. It's not because you were traumatized at the age of two. It's not because your mother was cold and unfeeling. It's not because your father was on the road. It's coming out of the source, and it's coming out of the source in a very unconditioned way. And in modern culture, you see, it's so fascinating because in modern culture, the source is much more open in a certain way than it is in other cultures. And it's just because of a lot of reasons. But we can't defend ourselves as easily as other cultures have been able to do against the source itself and against the experience of it. And we have come up with, you know, there's been a cultural freak out because of this situation. And we have all these excuses and reasons why things emerge out of nowhere. And, you know, it could be that your diet is wrong. You have to change your diet and then you won't experience this basic space. Or you need to go through 50 years of psychotherapy and then you won't experience the basic space. I have a friend who every month he's involved in some new training to get more credentials. He's already got a lot of credentials, more training, more techniques, more tools. And, you know, my comment is, stop running. The reason you feel insecure is not because you don't have enough credentials. It's because you don't exist. So the source, once you begin to tap into the source, and you know this is what meditation is all about, making a relationship with the source, which is you. It's your most basic nature, which is not you. It is you, but it isn't you. But everything that you are actually comes from the source. And this is experiential. This is not a theoretical statement. We have to know this. We have to see it. Then you see, you know, when I say everything in your life is trustworthy, from a certain point of view, you're going, well, yeah, that's what he thinks. I don't experience it. Well, that's true. You don't experience it. But the point of meditation is I'm suggesting that when your relationship to the source is open and unimpeded, that is the way that life is experienced, that everything arises from the source. Everything that arises in us is trustworthy. Even our hardness and when we're shut down is actually part of the journey. So, you know, everybody has a different... the source for everybody is the same source. But what arises from the source is different for everyone. What arises from the source is also part of the Buddha nature. It's also an essential part of who you are. In fact, it's an expression of the source. As the source expresses itself in you, that's what it looks like. So all of the feelings and all of the lack of feeling and all of the, you know, all of the thoughts we have around that, all of everything that arises in us is an expression of our fundamental nature, and we're taking refuge in that. We are taking refuge in the source, which means that we are acknowledging that that is our ultimate whatever, that's who we are ultimately, is this space beyond time and space, beyond pain and pleasure, beyond life and death. And we're taking refuge in what arises. I take refuge in the relative experience of my life. Now you might say, why? Why do we do it? Because the Dharma, as I say over and over, is becoming who you are. It is living your life completely and fully and realizing that that is why you are here. You are here to live your life in every detail and atom that it presents. That's why you're here. We take refuge in our relative experience, surrender to it, open to it, and see where it leads. So that's the second sort of dimension of the taking refuge in the Buddha in an inner sense. And then the third dimension, so this is, first one is in Buddhism called Dharmakaya, second one is called Sambhogakaya, the third one is called the Nirmanakaya. The third thing is you have to express who you are in the world. You can't just go, well, here's my experience, I affirm it, but I'm not going to let anyone know. I'm going to hide behind my social mask. I'm not going to be myself in public. I'll be myself in private. I have no problem with that. I'll be who I am. I'll meditate. I'll connect with the source. I will make room for my experience. But I'm going to keep my public persona because it's too inconvenient for me to show other people who I am. Too inconvenient. Unfortunately, that's not good enough. Unfortunately, or, I mean, it's fortunate, but from the ego's viewpoint, it's unfortunate. We have to be who we are in the world. Now, you might be a person like Milarepa. Who he was he went and lived in a cave for his entire life. That's fine. That's who he was, but he's willing to do it. He wasn't trying to please his mother or his sister or his fiance, all of whom wanted him to do something else. You might be somebody who's simply in social interactions just not willing to show yourself, you know, to someone who you actually trust. You just don't want to go there. You might be somebody who talks too much. And you sense that there's something really inauthentic there. It's a way of masking, of hiding by talking too much. But whatever it is, whatever you are, and usually it's a moment-by-moment thing. You know, it's not something you can exactly generalize. But whatever it is, you can't hold yourself back from other people. It's not fair to them. Because what you are and why you are is for them. It is for yourself. But ultimately, actually, it isn't for yourself because there is no self. There is no you that you're serving. It's for the others. What you are is a gift for the others. And I'm not just talking about humans. I'm talking about the whole thing, the whole community. People living, people who've passed beyond, animals, the natural world. You are here because you have something the universe is offering to itself, to the others. That's the Nirmanakaya. We have to be who we are. And it may take time. It doesn't mean you have to do it tomorrow. But when we take refuge, we are acknowledging that our action in the world is actually part of the commitment. It's part of our commitment to ourselves and to other people. So when we take refuge in the Buddha in an inner sense, we're taking refuge in the source, which is ultimately us and ultimately shows us that there is no us. And we learn how to hang out there. And we learn how to fly in that space. And we spend more and more time there. And we realize it's the only place to be. No other place is like that place. Initially, yes, it's very frightening for people. Because we live in a culture where it's demonized. That kind of openness, transcending ego, is demonized in our culture, truly. And that's why people run, because they think that it's something bad. And again, as Rinpoche always says, that people have got it completely backwards. That, actually, is the source and the only source of all goodness. And we take refuge in what arises from it, which means affirming our life moment by moment, whether it's painful, pleasurable, whether it's confusing, whether it's clarity, whether it's life, whether it's death. We affirm our life in its totality, moment by moment. And we look to it, and we listen, and we learn, and we open, and we surrender. And then we offer the gift to others near Mauna Kea, the gift of ourselves. And the gift might be lying on the floor and being hysterical. It could be. And it might be getting angry. It might be being sick and having to be cared for by other people. That's a gift, actually. It's our gift to them. And it's a very profound gift. And it might be our death. Also a very, very profound gift to others. So we're willing to be seen. We're willing to be seen.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.